We're talking today all about the pleasures and some of the peculiarities of reading. Sarah Nelson is a reading junkie. She is the publishing columnist for the New York Observer and the books editor for Glamour magazine. Last year, she read a book every week, apart from what she read for her jobs, and she's written a book about that experience called So Many Books, So Little Time, A Year of Passionate Reading. Sarah Nelson, welcome to Studio 360.
Thank you.
We can depress ourselves by looking at the statistics about the half of America that never buys a book and never reads a book. But clearly, there are signs all over that a reading culture is really thriving in this country, from the success of Amazon and Barnes & Noble and the Oprah Winfrey Book Club. Clearly, there are Americans, a lot of Americans, who love to read. So is that glass half full or half empty in your estimation?
I think that there have always been, you know, maniacal book people. And I think, you know, I think book people are, and I count myself as one, so I feel like I can say this. I mean, I think book people are a little nuts. I mean, I have a group of friends that talk about books as if they were our friends. You know, did you read the new Pete Dexter? Well, you know, I didn't like the part where he, you know, as if we knew the guy, you know, which we don't.
So it's as if the authors are your friends.
As if the authors are our friends, as if the characters are our friends. You know, I didn't like where she did this on page 93. You know, who she, you know, but it's almost like, you know, we speak in a language only other, you know, book maniacs can understand. And I notice with my husband, for example, who does know how to read and does read a lot of newspapers and magazines, but he's not a book reader. And he'll be with me someplace or come in and overhear me on the telephone talking to somebody. And he has absolutely, I mean, it's like listening to my son talk about Pokemon. You know, what are you talking about?
I'm just curious about at what point or by what means the reading bug gets inculcated. When did you become the kind of avid reader that you are today?
Well, when I was about 13 or so, my mother, who was a big reader, started to give me grown-up books. And she gave me Marjorie Morningstar, which was a 50s novel by Herman Wouk that was about an Upper West Side girl who was going to be an actress, and she was, you know, not going to be a bourgeois matron like her parents were, and she fell in love with the wrong man and traveled to Europe. And I remember reading that book. I remember very clearly her giving it to me, you know, going to my room and reading it, staying up all night, you know, and that feeling that you get of like, I just, you know, just one more chapter. You know, go to sleep soon. Yeah, yeah. And, you know, and taking it so personally. I mean, I remember going into my mother's room the next day, having finished it. I think I probably read it, you know, in 12 hours or something. And, you know, in the end, the girl doesn't marry the guy who's bad for her. She marries the right doctor or lawyer or whatever she's supposed to do. And, you know, I was 13 years old. I mean, this was just the most incredible shock to me.
And you confronted your mom about this?
I did. I mean, weeping, you know, and she was just, I could still remember it. I mean, she was just like, oh boy, you know, this is not what I signed on for here. And I went back and I read that book, Marjorie Morningstar, last year. And, you know, it's really a different book when you read it as an adult and as a parent. And, you know, now I read it and I think, you know, she should have listened to her mother, you know?
Well, it's funny. How books, or for that matter, movies and plays, in their kind of unchanging way, become markers for how we change. Madame Bovary and Anna Karenina were two of the books that you hadn't read before you started this project, or you had?
No, I had not read either of them.
Well, I would love you to read the beginning of this chapter, which you wrote, I guess, last August 20th, called Anna, Emma, and Me.
Okay. One of the good things about having a partner who is just a tiny bit oblivious to the links between reading and life is that he doesn't take particular note that the two books you've brought on your 3-week family vacation are Anna Karenina and Madame Bovary. In my imagination, the one where my life is a sitcom, Leo would notice me piling the two classics about adultery on the bedside table in our new rented master bedroom on Fire Island and turn into Paul Reiser or Will from Will and Grace or somebody and ask, "Hey, what's with the books about cheating? You trying to tell me something?" And I'd say, "No, of course not, honey." But then the 27-minute plot would reveal that, well, he didn't really believe me and was in fact running around misreading all sorts of innocent remarks and behaviors and had worked himself into a good righteous frenzy before his folly was revealed in some meet-cute way. Then we'd make up and live happily ever after.
And so you really took the two classics about adultery on vacation with your husband. Was there anything more than an amusing coincidence there?
No. But there was a reason that I took those two books on vacation with my husband and my son. And it took me a long time to figure out what it was. And what I realized was that I behave towards my books the way people behave toward their secret lovers. I mean, that it's really like my secret life. And there are, you know, days when I lie to my husband and I say, I have to stay late at the office because I'm like in the middle of some book and I just don't want to, you know, go home.
And in your case, even more since your husband, as you've said, isn't a great reader. So right. It's even more like this.
Well,
this.
I mean, he just would. I mean, of all the stories that he would buy, that is not one of them. I mean, no, really, I'm not having an affair. I'm really staying in the office to read a book. I mean, he would just think that was completely weird, though in my case would be true. So I realize that that's what I think, you know, that it's all the passion in these books and all the kind of secrecy and the sort of joyful secrecy. Being a book maniac is as much fun as having adultery without the guilt, you know, I guess.